Well, thank you for joining us for this month's TA Conversation Circle. Today's topic is about academic book proposals. And before we get started, I would like to thank TAA's new partners, Top Hat and Archstone Law. Both of these companies have TAA members who are active participants in the association, and we are happy to have them as partners as well. For those of you who are new to the Conversation Circle, this is meant to be an open sharing discussion. So we're hoping some of you will be brave enough to unmute yourself and share. For those of you who aren't, feel free to share your thoughts in the chat or just listen in. Until you're ready to share, though, please remain muted so that we can prevent any background noises. Please take a moment to share your name and writing discipline in the chat so we can get to know each other. And who would like to be the first to share?
Hey, beautiful people. Sorry I'm not camera ready today, but my writing discipline is within education. I'm an education researcher.
Thank you. So, would you like to share something on academic book proposals?
Yeah,
Something.
I'm considering and trying to think about for my dissertation, I created a framework essentially for science education that merges different liberatory pedagogies. But I'm thinking a lot about Dr. Goldie Muhammad's Cultivating Genius and how she worked a lot to introduce the pedagogy to literacy teachers. And I'm trying to figure out ways to do that for the science field.
Right, that's great. So, does anyone have some advice for Alexis in that area? Okay.
Nobody's talking. I'm Dave Harris.
Hi,
I'm a
Dave.
writing coach and an editor. Hi, Kim. I just came in at the end of Alexis's question, so I missed what the question was, so I can't actually give any tips. But if she would repeat it, that would be maybe I could.
Hey Dave, I didn't ask any questions. I was just sharing that I'm considering writing a book that introduces different liberatory pedagogies in the science education field and here to learn
Excellent.
as much as I can.
Excellent. So nobody, I do this. I share when other people don't. Here's my tip for a book proposal. Think about who your competitors are. Know who the alternatives are. Your proposal is going to ask you for that. So for Alexis, who else is doing that kind of pedagogical stuff or something similar but different? And so that's one of the key points of a book proposal. And if you do that well, that can really help with everything. So I'll show it now.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Dave. Thank you for contributing. Hi, Mary Beth. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. I'd like to piggyback on what Dave said. I think that one thing to do is to look at the books in your field and see who published them. And if you're going to go with an academic press or a non-academic press, but particularly for academic presses, different presses want different things in their book proposals. So go to their website and find out exactly what they want. Because usually they have a list of stuff they want.
Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to share, or anyone else have a question that for the group? You can feel free to leave your camera on or leave your camera off. I think a lot of people are being a little camera shy today, but and that's fine. Hi.
Hi everyone. I'm just listening in. Unfortunately, only able to be here for a short time, but I missed the previous question. So I'll wait for other people to add traction and then chime in when I'm able to.
All right. Yeah, we have people still joining. So I think they're kind of missing a little bit of the questions, but it's the discussion is meant to be an open discussion. And I'm simply moderating. So the topic is academic book proposals. So if anyone has questions about this topic, it's a great way for all of you to learn from each other and to share your own experiences, ask questions, share any tips that you have to share to the group. So who would like to be next? And hi, Donna. Thank you for joining us today.
I do have a question. Sure. And I'm not sure what's been asked before since I was a little late joining too, but I wondered if each, is there sort of a, and you may have already responded to this, but is there sort of an overall template for submitting to especially a university press, or does each press have their own specific guideline? I mean, I can imagine that there may be some different specific things that different presses ask for, but I wondered if there's just sort of a general overall list of what you would want to include in a proposal.
So I would answer that. I think that every press does have slightly different framing for what they want in their proposal, and they'll ask similar questions from different angles. But I think all of them want to know who your competitors are and what makes your book special and different. And I think that that's going to be a lot of your proposal, because you're going to, you know, there's a blurb or a sort of description of your book, and that wants to highlight what's special about it, what makes it new and different, what makes it original. And then the competitors portion, what other books in your market, what other books to people similar to the audience that you're aiming for, who are they going to buy the book? What are their other options and how do they differ from yours? So if you're teaching, kinesiology, what are the other kinesiology textbooks or something like that? Even if you're taking a radically different pedagogical approach. So that would be sort of my general thoughts, is that everyone's going to be different, but the overall thing that they're looking for, they want to sell books. They want to know why yours is going to sell.
Thank you for that, Dave. Anyone else like to share on to answer that question?
I have something else to say.
Sure.
I pretty much agree with what Dave said. I still think, you know, go to the website and read it. But another tip that I have to give people is talk to other people who've written textbooks fairly recently. So there's writing a proposal for the publisher, and then there's doing some research about what do they really want. And that might be by talking with your colleagues to find out what did and didn't work for them. And sometimes it's really helpful if one of your colleagues knows an editor at an academic publishing house that publishes the kind of thing you're interested in writing, to get them to make the referral to the editor for you. That could be really helpful to get that. Just as it's helpful for mass market books in terms of finding an agent, in terms of finding an editor at a publishing house, an academic publishing house, it's helpful to get that personal referral.
Thank you. So one person had said that the odd thing in the academic authoring industry is that the authors are required to do their own market research. So if that's something that anyone would like to speak to as well.
I don't have something about market research, but I'd like to follow up on what Mary Beth said.
Sure.
For me, I don't have a large social network, and so I don't necessarily have colleagues to ask, but I have found that instead of writing a full proposal, you can often reach out to the editor at a publishing house with a query letter to say, here's my general book idea. Would you be interested in a proposal? And you can get a conversation going, often with an editor. If you give them a quick letter that's easy for them to read, they don't mind spending their time on it if it's clear. So a query letter can allow you to connect with an editor at a specific publishing house in a similar way to how Mary Beth is suggesting getting a referral to an editor. You can sometimes make that connection yourself with an informal query letter.
That's very helpful. I have a question. If you were to earmark red flags from a publishing house, how does one decide, for example, which of three really good publishers to go with for a topic that's probably hot, that people really want to read about, and you've gotten good responses from three or four publishers? If I were to ask you, you know, go with the publisher that, and you finish the sentence, what would the sentence look like?
Anyway, I have a good answer to that question.
And I know it's not just one thing, so I didn't mean for it to be as loaded, but if you had to make choices, what are some of the things that would help you make those choices?
Prestige is, you know, for me, if you've heard bad stories about the press, I would think that, you know, you got to talk with the editors. A lot of that makes a difference. I think that it's pretty bleak out there right now. The different companies are not going to give you a lot of marketing help. So I don't think it makes a big difference between the biggest publisher and the second biggest publisher or the third biggest. Yeah, I see Mary Beth has written, go with the publisher that offers the best contract. And, you know, if they're giving you an offer, ask for a contract, see what it is. And I was thinking as we had, you know, one of the things that in my experience, publishing just has gotten so much worse is what they offer you for the contract. And when I wrote my first book, my graduate monograph, you know, my dissertation work, they were offering a percentage, and now you just get like a flat fee for all your rights, you know, $1,200 for your book or something like that. So yeah, the best contract. Yeah. And you know, Mary Beth, I'm reading what Mary Beth is saying in the chat again, get a IP lawyer for sure.
I like the twist that friend is offering in the chat.
Some publishers allow it. Some publishers discourage it. If I suggested a query letter before, if you do a query letter, that's not a full proposal. So even if they're opposed to simultaneous submission, you can reach out to them without sort of violating that. So that's one reason I do query letters.
And to be clear, I was approached and the query letter from one. So I ended up with three, what I think are good presses. I was approached by two and then one. So just trying to figure out, you know, how do you take one over the edge versus another one?
Yeah, for me, a prestige has so much to do with it. The sort of sense of who's the name that I want to be published with. If I knew somebody that had a really bad experience with that press, I might change it. But for me, as a writer of books for writers, if I could get published by the University of Chicago, I would, you know, I would choose them even over a worse contract.
I think another thing to consider is what changes. If, for instance, if you were going to publish your dissertation as a book, what changes does the publisher who wants to contract with you want you to make? So one of my clients was approached by an academic publisher, and they wanted her to get rid of some of her chapters and add something, a whole new chapter, which meant that she had to go back into the field and do more research. Now, she was fine with doing that. I mean, it was probably a good idea, but I've worked with, I have a colleague who actually sold her book to a publisher. And then once she had the advance, they kept wanting her to change it and wanting her to change it till she just said to them, like, this isn't my book anymore. This isn't the book that I wrote. And here's your money back because I'm done with you. But then she wasted a lot of time, you know, in the meantime, and then she had to go find a different publisher. So I think getting all the details up front is really helpful. And you can't always know what that means. But and I just have one thing to say about Chicago. I understand that's the prestigious press. And there's a book that I really like by Wendy Belcher, publishing your, or maybe it's writing your journal article in 12 weeks. And when the second edition came out, the second edition was by the University of Chicago, and it, they changed the cover, which is not a big deal, but the actual book is much more difficult to read in the second edition. Like the space, white use of white space and all that kind of stuff, it's ugly. And I think that the author agrees with that evaluation. So sometimes it's why it's good to look at recent things published by any given publisher. Because if it's not going to make your work look good, then why take them, even if they're prestigious?
Does anyone else have any other questions?
We may have talked about this before in another session, but I just wondered if anybody had any thoughts about self-publishing or has self-published anything, or why you would choose to self-publish.
Forgive my talking. I self-published a book. I chose to self-publish because I just wanted to try it. I had sent out one proposal for it and gotten rejected on that proposal. And I just felt like I would have control over it. I wouldn't have to negotiate. And so I tried it. I think that it's much less prestigious, and prestige matters in and of itself. It's got its ups and downs. You have to be the publisher. So you have to make sure that, you know, if you get published at a real publisher, they'll have a copy editor look over your stuff. They'll have somebody to do the page proofs, which, as Mary Beth warned us, might be ugly depending on the publisher. But I had to hire those people for my book. I had to hire a cover designer. Your book publisher is going to do that. But, you know, your book publisher is going to give you a choice of 10 covers and you're going to get to choose. And that's kind of going to, or 20 or whatever they give you. So, and nowadays I went back, I published another book with Routledge after that because I had self-publishing, you have to do all the marketing yourself. And if you're not doing that, if you're not great at promotion, self-publishing is not really going to work. You're not going to sell many copies at all. At the same time, with current publishers, Routledge, certainly, they don't really have a marketing budget for you. They put you in their circular that they send out, but they don't do any special marketing for books that aren't from a rock star anyway. So they want, and this is going back to what you put in the proposal, often publishers are very interested in what your platform is, how you're going to promote the book yourself. And I think that in terms of promoting a book, you're probably better off, again, going back to the prestige thing, if you're doing the promotion, to be able to say, I'm being published by this publisher, this well-known publisher, this reputable publisher. I think that helps sell a book. Certainly when I'm on Amazon, I look at who publishes it. You know, who's publishing this thing? Is this going to have quality control, or is this going to be just something somebody ripped out in their back room? So I don't think there's a clear answer. After self-publishing, I went back to publishing. And for my next book, I haven't decided, honestly.
Are there differences in this area in terms of a textbook proposal and an academic book proposal? Maybe someone want to speak to that. Are most of you working on academic book proposals?
So a general answer is that with an academic publisher, usually the person who's writing the proposal, writing the book, goes directly to the publisher. With mass market publishing, you get an agent who then markets your, who shops your book around to publishers. I'd be interested to know, Dave, what your experience was with that. Did you have an agent, or how did you handle that?
I did apply to an agent once. My books are about writing, and they're sort of general graduate audience. So along the lines of Joan Bulker's Writing Your Dissertation in 15 Minutes a Day, which is a large press, a non-academic press, and you need an agent for that kind of press. They don't take unsolicited manuscripts. I felt like my proposal for the agent was pretty much the same kind of thing. I was writing to individual publishing houses, and mostly I have applied with, well, I've only applied with a few because I only had to, I've applied to Sage, Chicago, and Routledge, and applied to Sage, Chicago, and Routledge, and Stylus. And I got really nice feedback from Chicago and Stylus, and interesting feedback from Sage and Routledge I published with. And the publisher wants to sell your book. So if you have a monograph versus a textbook, you have different purposes for those books and different audiences for those books. And you want to be able to express those in your proposal clearly. But I don't think there's another difference than that. And I know I've strayed away from Mary Beth's question about agent versus smaller publishers. Most of the academic presses, Routledge, Chicago, university presses, don't want an agent. You contact them directly. It's the big, as much Mary Beth said, the big mass market presses, Basic Books or something like that. I forget who published. Anyway, so, you know, that depends on where you set your goals. And I have less experience with the mass market presses and with agents.
Thanks, Dave. So as has happened in previous conversation circle discussions, we've hit everyone's questions within 30 minutes. So I do appreciate everyone's time today, and thank you so much for participating. Hopefully you were able to come away with some tips and strategies and advice on academic book proposals, and I hope you will join us for the next session, which will be February 22nd at same time, same link, and have a great rest of your day, and happy writing to everyone.